How you doing, fellow Christians? God bless you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. I want to hit on a couple topics today. I'll be going into the gospel a little bit. I'd like to start out by talking about debating. You know, on a personal note, just me personal, I don't know if I'd want to debate anybody in the Word of God. I mean, particularly if you're not reborn, it would be like trying to debate with somebody who has Down syndrome. If you're blind, if you're deaf, if you're dumb, if you're dead in your sins, for me to try to debate anything, to use actual human reasoning to explain anything to you, actually would more than likely dig a deeper grave. How do I know that? Because I was college educated, I was a boss, I had children, I worked, I owned properties, but I didn't know God. So when I heard anything to do with God, it made absolutely no sense to me. And it was absolute foolishness. Walking on water, raising people from the dead, virgin birth, paying your taxes by pulling money out of a fish's mouth. Give me a break. I'm sensible. I'm reasonable. I know that's crazy. The old man. But then the miracle happened. Let me emphasize the miracle of the rebirth, which destroyed common sense, reasonable, carnal argument. So how am I going to have a carnal, reasonable argument in the world on trying to convince somebody of Jesus? I'd rather do what Jesus did. Just give the word. Give the word. It's the word that does the miracle. It's the word that's a seed. And somebody else will water that word, and then the word will increase when God wants it. If that miracle, if that God miracle doesn't show up, it's not happening. Because this gospel is certainly not a gospel of reasoning. It's reasoning in one point that we're all going to die and there's going to be a God, but it's unreasonable using the forces of nature and natural laws, et cetera, to explain any of this. But when God opens your eyes, when you're washed by the water of the Word, when faith enters in, when that miracle happens, all bets are off. You actually flip into the world now. You become a crazy, a fool. And we're told that. The Lord has taken the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to lead men unto salvation. You become a fool for the sake of Christ. Paul gave up all his education and counted it all dung, horse poop, for just the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to say, you know, debates are not good or anything, because I know Paul in the book of Acts, he towards the end, he would just debate the whole church. It seemed like he would be debating them every Sunday or every Saturday or whatever the day was. I'm just saying, for me, I've learned in my experience, I'd rather pray for people. I'd rather just give them the word. Use discernment in what I say. But I guess in reference to debating, don't try to win anything based on human reasoning. Unless that miracle of rebirth takes place, like Jesus said, you must be born again. He's talking to Nicodemus. He's explaining to Nicodemus, the wind goes the way it will. But you must be reborn. Nicodemus is saying, what? I got to go back into my mother's womb? He's using carnal, rational, common sense thinking. Jesus said, you must be born again. Here's a professor of the law. He's a Pharisee. He's thinking, I got to go back into my mother's womb. Jesus is probably shaking his head and saying, you're clueless. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm speaking spiritually, spiritually. And this is brings a lot of confusion. God speaks spiritually. Baptism spiritually, communion spiritually, marriage is spiritually. So unless you get it in the spirit, God is looking for those who want to worship him in spirit and in truth. So debating God's word, fine. But don't base the outcome on it. I don't know if the Lord won any debates. He wasn't out to debate. Actually, once you try to debate, it means you bring it to the table. You give it credence. Now, have I arrived? Do I want to hear other people? Sure. Sure. And then I'm a Berean. I bring in a lot of things. Now, do I want to digest them? No. This is why you have the Holy Spirit, to quicken you. No, total garbage. No, hey, listen to what he might have to say. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not some man. That's not some textbook. That's Jesus in your heart. I'm not even going to say in your heart. In your heart. Jeremiah tells us man's heart, who even knows it? It's so deceptive. So I'm not going to say your own heart, your own sincerity, your only true belief. That doesn't matter. Actually, that there again, your heart's in the same ball game as a carnal mind. Without the washing of the word of God, without Jesus Christ in your heart, no sense in debating, discussing, or doing anything about it. Because the true Holy Spirit will lead you to repentance. You'll change your ways. It'll be a miracle. You'll become reborn. Everything will open up to you. You become a new creation. I cannot see being reborn and not seeing a dividing line in your life where, wow, I am brand new. I get it now. I get it now. This is how I was. This is how I am. It's a fight. It's a fight. But I want to get to the gospel here a little bit. Scary thing about hearing God's word, all right? Remember what Paul tells us, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this is kind of intense. 2 Peter 2, 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. And what's the way of righteousness? His word. His word. That after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It's better that you don't even hear the word of God. What a statement. I'll read that again. And when is this? For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, and we know who the only escape is, Jesus, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than in the beginning. For you to know this word, for you to hear this word, and turn your back on it, it is worse with them from the beginning. It's worse. Now, I want to take what Jesus said and combine it with that verse. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. This is Jesus speaking, red letter. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. So we're talking about a man. We're talking about an unclean spirit. And it leaves. What causes that unclean spirit to leave? What we just read about here. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. and are entangled again. So if this unclean spirit is in your house, you are entangled with something, because that's why it's there. It's there to trap you, kill you, deceive you, kill, steal, and destroy. So if this unclean spirit leaves, it's only because the light forced it out of your house. Darkness was forced out of your house in the name of Jesus. Lust was in you. It was forced out by the light. Greed, envy, jealousy, laundry list of anything that's entangling you. He said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, it leaves. You think it's just going to leave because, oh, it's going to another picnic? No, it leaves a man because of God's word, because of the gift that was given us, the redemption gift at the cross. He walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Dry places, a place without the water of the word. He's marching around. He's marching around. He hates the word of God. He'll never get near that. Seeking rest and finding none. Isn't that interesting? He needs rest. An unclean spirit needs rest. It only gets rest. You feed an unclean spirit. You make him lie down and rest by fulfilling your lusts. He rests in your lusts. You rest by killing your lusts. They no longer control you. Fight, it's a war. Starts in the mind, putting up the shield of faith. You're in all-out war. Remember, war is nasty, gang. It's nasty. It's death. It's destruction. It's killing. It's annihilation. And we are in a war. So don't take it lightly when the lust comes and the hate comes and the greed comes and the jealousy comes and the covetousness comes. And it will come, and it will, your word will be tested. The word of God in you will be tested, just like it was tested with Jesus after he had fasted, after his weakest time, 40 days in the desert. Then goeth he and taketh with him himself, this is the unclean spirit, seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. The last state of the man is worse than the first. Kind of sounds like what Peter's saying here. What did Peter say? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It's better that you never have even heard God's word. Why? Because they come back seven times worse when you turn back willfully. Gang, this is scary. But this is why the gate keeps getting more narrow and narrow and narrow. This is why few find it. It has nothing to do with churchiosity. Nothing to do with Bible verse memorization, university grade scores. Nothing to do with that. All to do with the invisible God to the eye that lives inside your heart. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. The last state of the man is worse than the first. Why? Because obviously something kicked the demon out. And it was God's word. And he left, but he came back. Because you didn't walk in that word. You weren't a doer of that word. You didn't hold fast to that word. When the Lord warns you to repent, or the Lord warns you to, you know, stay away from your wickedness, you didn't obey. Here they came back. So the last state of the man is worse. Peter says it. Jesus says it. And then Jesus goes on to say, even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Let me go to Luke 4:18. Why did Jesus come? Why is it so scary that once he does come, not to turn back? Luke 4:18 is actually Isaiah 49:8. Jesus is speaking in Luke 4:18, but he's giving the old gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's anybody who wants to hear it. The poor in spirit. You're not arrogant. You're not full of pride. Let's stay poor. Let's stay poor, gang. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives. See, we're all held captive. Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. Set the captives free. Remember, the unclean spirit leaves the man. That's setting you free. You're set free. But that's not where it ends. Because it's better that you weren't even set free than to be set free and leave the house empty and not filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with everything that comes from the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Spirit that we're told about in Galatians, all those gifts that were talked about in Galatians. Meekness, temperance, joy, everything that comes with the Holy Ghost. It's better that you weren't even delivered. Why? Because once you're delivered, they'll come back seven times worse. This is why, me again, I watch who I share the Word of God with, and I, you know, the more you tell somebody the Word of God, the more they're held accountable for it. You know, if you are somebody that's never heard God's word, never heard it at all, there's a verse in Corinthians that says you will be judged differently. God says the law becomes a law of itself in your heart. And he'll, Jesus, by his word at judgment day, it's in there. He says he'll seek that man's heart out. He'll judge him. So don't worry about people that haven't heard the word of God in foreign countries or in wherever. God will judge them separately, but if you're listening to me right now, you've heard the word of God. We're in a different category. We've tasted of it. We've heard it. We know it's truth. We don't have to debate anything. But it's scary yet. So this is a message of war. You won the battle, but you don't win the war. You win the battle. You have to endure to the end to win the war. We've been let in on the battle. At least we know we're in a fight. You don't take a blind man or a crippled man and throw him on the front lines. He doesn't even know what's going on. He's blind, he's crippled, he's deaf, he's dumb. But now that we've been let in and a blindness has been gone, to deliverance of the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what he does. This is what Jesus did. He came to us who needed him, who get on your knees if you haven't met him, or even if you have, get on your knees, repent of your sins, yell out to him, let him wash you clean, prepare for the kingdom. Prepare for the kingdom now. Thy kingdom come, thy shall be done in earth, In the King James, it doesn't even say on earth. It says in earth as it is in heaven. And you're the earth. You're the rental unit. Let his kingdom come in you. Fight the good fight of faith. Take his word seriously. You've been told the word. You know the word. It's a convicting word. It's a word that'll lead you to repentance. Stay in it. Stay in it. Stay strong in it. Yes, if spirits of depression. If a spirit of depression comes, ask yourself what caused it. Do I have an idol in my life? Is something leaving my life that I love so much I'm depressed now? Watch it. Spirits of loneliness. Maybe God has you alone for a reason. He was alone a lot of times. A lot of times to pray. To pray. And maybe that's your whole goal in life. I don't know. I don't know. But I will go. I'll end it on this. Boy, I hope I had this written down. I don't have it written down. But the reason why you're here is for the glory of God. That's your only reason for existence. We're told this in Revelation. I wanted you to see it in black and white. That's your whole existence. We're here for the glory of God. And God loved us so much. He must really love his creation. He must really love us. And, you know, I pray for women. I pray for women because, you know, a woman was made for a man. So these unclean spirits really want to destroy women because they know the woman was a gift for a man. And they know in the beginning that God made the woman for the man. Now, I know that's a mystery. It's a mystery because in Christ we're still all one. But while we're here, there is a distinction. But everybody stay guard, man, woman, child. And we have to renew our minds with the fact, and I have to do it all the time, that my only reason for existence is for God's glory. Whether the football games are coming with the grandkids, whether we go on the fishing trips, whether I got to get my bills paid, whether I got to go to work, whether I got what I'm, my whole reason for existence is for Jesus Christ. I got to continually renew my mind with that statement. But God bless all of you. Stay strong in the Lord. And amen.